Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the Gospel of the Power of God. Chapter 8. Power made perfect in weakness. The moment a person receives Christ as the Lord of his or her life, as we saw in the previous chapters, one also receives from God, through the Gospel, the power to achieve eternal salvation in the Lord. Romans 6. 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. On the other hand, the fact that a person receives the power of God for eternal salvation, and not only temporal or for the natural things, does not mean that the gospel is not powerful also to help him or her in one's life during the time that one remains in the present world. The eternal life that is given by God to those who receive Christ already begins together with the act of receiving the Lord Jesus in their hearts, even if they remain in their natural condition for a while longer. 1 John 5, 9-13. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Therefore, when a person receives Christ and the power of God for eternal salvation, one also is placed in the condition of having at his or her disposal the power of God to live and walk in the present as a redeemed or saved individual, since Christ and the power of God are inseparable. Receiving Christ into the heart as the personal Lord is not the end of the process of salvation in the life of an individual on earth, nor is it the end of the operation of God's power in the life of a person in the world. On the contrary, it is the inaugural act of a new time of relationship for a person already in the present and that extends for eternity with God and the power of the heavenly kingdom. When an individual receives Christ as his or her Lord, a new position of life and a new condition of power to live this novelty of life are made available to him or her by grace and through faith in God. That is why learning how to coexist with this newness of life, which also includes a new condition of access to the power of the Lord, becomes one of the primary and most essential aspects that a saved individual should desire to achieve. The Lord is continually willing to give strength and power to his people in all that is needed for a life in line with the divine will. However, God also expects people to learn to properly relate to his power so that they may use it in line with the heavenly righteousness and for the exaltation of the unique one who grants them the power for salvation and the novelty of life. Psalm 68, 32-35. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth, oh, sing praises to the Lord. To him who rides on the heaven of heavens, which were of old. Indeed, he sends out his voice, a mighty voice. Ascribe strength to God, his excellence is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, you are more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. In Christ Jesus, every Christian is a temple of the Lord and God's people. And it is from the presence of Christ in the heart of a Christian that God gives strength and power to those who are his so that they may live and walk in newness of life. However, the Lord's purpose is to make it so that Christians receive the strength and power to live a life that is also a reflection of the glory due to their sovereign and eternal God. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? 1 Corinthians 1:30-31. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Philippians 1:9-11. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. 1 Peter 2:6-10. Therefore it is also contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. After a person receives Christ, one is called to live a life that glorifies God in the most diverse aspects, for in Christ, one is able to allow the Lord to instruct and enable him or her to make choices and accomplishments that one was not previously able to choose and carry out. From the point of receiving Christ, a Christian can begin to experience what is described, for instance, in the following texts. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Galatians 2:19-20. For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. With Christ in the heart, and by remaining in fellowship with the Lord, the Christian is empowered for Christ to produce the will of the Heavenly Father in his or her heart, as well as for Christ to instruct and enable him or her to do what the Lord himself makes him or her aim according to his divine will. From the understanding that Christ is the power of God in his or her life, a Christian is able to understand and experience what God wants him or her to do, for, in Christ, a Christian receives everything he or she also needs to accomplish what God longs to do through his or her life. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. 2 Corinthians 9:8-11. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, He has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. Now may He who supplies seed to the sower, and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. In Christ, a Christian becomes empowered to carry out God's will for his or her life, since the Lord himself performs his works through the one who is willing to be in the Lord and to serve him according to his good, perfect, and acceptable will. John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Colossians 3:1-4. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, or will manifest himself, then you also will appear, or be manifested, with him in glory. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. At this point, however, or regarding the aspect that a Christian, through the gospel, has at his or her disposal the power of God to live and walk in newness of life, we believe that an even more extensive approach is needed about the way or some criteria by which the Lord grants his power to those who long for it. As mentioned earlier, it is not uncommon for people to incur inappropriate thinking or conduct by believing that the Lord wants to offer them the gifts of his gospel so that they can use them dissociated from fellowship with God, so that they can use them according to their own interests, or even that God grants the power that is in his gospel to people indiscriminately just because the gospel is given freely. As for the assumptions mentioned in the previous paragraph, we can observe that the declaration that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me affirms, once again, that the Lord, at no time, taught the people that he, through his gospel, would give power to them so that they could live in an appropriate way independently of the personal fellowship with their Creator. And, in turn, when the aspect of fellowship is taken into account in the matter of an individual having access to the power of God, we understand that it is significant to remember that the fellowship between the Lord and each Christian is also associated with the voluntary action of each Christian for this closer relationship to occur. The operation of the power of the gospel given by God for Christians respects the position of each Christian concerning the power that is available in his or her heart. That is, if a Christian recognizes that the power for a life aligned with the will of God is Christ, and allows oneself to be strengthened in Christ, this Christian also places oneself in line with the criteria to be strengthened in everything by the power of the Lord. However, if the Christian seeks to act without the voluntary dependence on the power of Christ, one also refrains from experiencing the power of God to the extent that it is offered from heaven. Although the power of God is sovereign over everything and everyone, the Lord presents himself in humility to offer his power by his grace to each person. The Almighty Lord does not invade or break down the door of a heart, nor does he seek a subtle way to enter or manifest his power in a person's heart. The Creator of all hearts knocks on the door and waits to be invited to enter and manifest himself in the life of the one who receives him. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. Humility is considered foolishness in the face of the concepts of arrogance or haughtiness of the world. However, God's salvation and power have always been associated with humility, for this is a characteristic of the very heart of our Lord Jesus Christ and continues to be a way through which Christ reveals himself to those who believe in him and want to be instructed and strengthened in him. Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. When people cried out against the Lord Jesus saying that he offered himself to save others without being able to save himself, they did not notice the fact that the power of God was manifesting itself precisely in the strengthening of Christ so that he could endure the suffering until the end and so that, through his death, he would fulfill the provision of salvation even for those who blasphemed him in his appearing weakness or lack of power. When the Lord Jesus Christ surrendered his strength as the Son of Man to the death sentence on the cross of Calvary, he surrendered himself so that the power of the Heavenly Father would become exceedingly exalted to offer forgiveness to sinners and to be revealed sovereign over all life also through his resurrection from the dead. And similar to the position of humility and weakness that the Lord Jesus Christ adopted concerning his natural strength or the strength of the flesh, So we too are called by God to present ourselves before Him in humility and weakness in the flesh, so that the power of the Lord may manifest itself in strength towards us and through our lives. Just as Christ's weakness in His position as Son of Man on the cross of Calvary did not impede the action of God's power on His behalf, so our weakness in the flesh is not an impediment to the operation of Christ's eternal power in us and through us, as also described in the following text. 1 Corinthians 1, 18-31. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification and redemption, that, as it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. The power of God is not granted through the gospel so that Christians may become the reference of powerful men and women or that by themselves perform wonders and mighty acts. God did not send Christ to die for people to transform men into supermen and women into superwomen. The power of God is more intensely granted to the Christians who recognize their fragility as creatures and who are willing to allow their Creator to be mighty in them. The power of God is given to people, in their weaknesses, for the purpose of helping them, but also for the Lord to be known and exalted in their lives, for them to grow in dependence on God, and that the testimony of the acts of God in them may serve for others to come to know the only source that is powerful to save for eternal life and for them to seek help and strength in Him. When a person accepts Christ in his or her life and even so still lives on earth with a corruptible body, the Lord allows this situation to let people know that life does not depend primarily on natural life or human strength, but that life depends on Him who is the author of all life. 2 Corinthians 4, 6-18. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed, we are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that He who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus, and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Isaiah 48:11. For my own sake, for my own sake, I will do it, for how should my name be profaned? And I will not give my glory to another. Therefore, often, the reason why even many Christians lack the power and the glory of God lies in the fact that many of them do not want to stand in weakness and humility before the Lord, falling back on the root aspects of sin already addressed in the subjects on the gospel of the Creator and the gospel of the righteousness of God. On the other hand, so as Christ, in the position of Son of Man, took a position of weakness to be supplied and sustained by the power of the heavenly kingdom, so the Lord also has established that the attitude of weakness and humility on the part of Christians before Him would become one aspect of the process whereby the Lord grants His power to those who want to live strengthened in Him. 2 Corinthians 13:4. For though Christ was crucified in weakness, yet He lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in Him, but we shall live with Him by the power of God toward you. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Psalm 62:7. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge, is in God. From his experience and what the Lord revealed to him, Paul teaches us that the power of God is fully mighty to the point of raising Christ from the dead and causing him to be seated by the Heavenly Father at his right hand above all or any other power. Nevertheless, Paul also teaches us that this power, entirely sufficient or mighty, waits that those who receive it adopt an attitude or position of weakness and humility before the Lord so that the power of God continues to work in them and through them more intensely. After being experienced in the relationship with the power of God in his life, Paul teaches us that the operation of the power of God, in his favor, was also associated with his posture of weakness concerning the power of God, as we can see exemplified in another text below. 2 Corinthians 12, 9-10. And he, the Lord, said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, or weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, or weakness, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Although the power of the Lord is above any other manifestation of power and is more powerful and stronger than any opposition to it, this power, in a Christian's life, also waits for this Christian not to resist it and not compete with it, for the way in which the gifts of the heavenly gospel are granted does not work by imposition, but by the acceptance of those to whom the gifts are offered. Despite the fact that the gospel of God and the works that accompanied Christ's revelation to the world were the most direct, expressive, and notorious living manifestations of God's power to humankind, and even though sin, death, and the entire kingdom of darkness could not resist to this power, the Lord manifests His sovereign power in the life of each person also according to the attitude with which one positions oneself concerning this power. God does infinitely more than we think and imagine through the operation of the strength of His power, but, still, a large part of the Lord's work awaits how a Christian stands regarding what the Lord offers him or her. Ephesians 3:14-4, 7. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the Church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Finally, we understand that it is very significant to approach yet another angle of a Christian's cooperative action so that the power offered by God through his gospel may be available to him or her to live and walk in newness of life, as also exemplified in the last text above or which is expressed in the Scriptures through the teaching about choosing life according to the Spirit of the Lord, and not according to the flesh. When Christ was also as the Son of Man on earth and instructed his first disciples about the works that he wanted them to fulfill, the Lord always directed them to wait first to be endued with the power that from God would come to them through the Holy Spirit, as follows. Luke 24, 45-49. And he opened their understanding, that they might comprehend the Scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Acts 1, 7-8. And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." And today, to help a Christian understand God's teaching about the truth and to strengthen a Christian to live and walk according to the divine instruction, the Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ also continue to grant the Holy Spirit so that he may continually dwell with everyone who receives the gospel of the Lord. John 14, 16-17. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. John 15:26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. John 16:13-15. However, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Therefore, despite the presence of Christ in the heart of a Christian, There are several manifestations of the Lord's power that will not be manifested in his or her life if the Christian refrains from living and walking in the Spirit of the Lord, or if he or she tries to act by the strength of his or her flesh, as also exposed in the following texts. Romans 7, 25-8, 13. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Galatians 5, 16-17. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Galatians 6, 7-8. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. The Lord offers to cooperate continually with those who believe in him. However, when a Christian wants to act according to his own thoughts or in the strength of the inclinations of his or her flesh, one also imposes on oneself restrictions on the access to the power of God or the relationship with it. Because they do not pay attention to the fact that it is not by the inclination towards the strength of the flesh that the power of God is available to them, but because of the inclination towards the Spirit, many Christians end up subjecting themselves to a condition of lack of power that is already available to them in the Lord for the novelty of life to which they are called. Because they do not give due attention to the fact that the Lord acts more intensely in the life of a Christian when, through faith, one considers oneself dead to the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, many Christians fail to experience the power that is so necessary for them to live and walk in the newness of life for which the gospel is announced and offered to all human beings. When, however, a Christian inclines the heart to live and walk in the Spirit, the Lord manifests several ways in which the Spirit of the Lord strengthens the individuals who believe in Christ, cooperating with them even in their prayer life before the Lord Jesus and the Heavenly Father. Romans 8, 26-27. Likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Thank God that the support of eternal salvation and lasting victory does not depend on our weak or fragile strength, but on the Lord's everlasting and fully mighty grace. Hebrews 12:26-28. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. May the Lord continually grant us more of His abundant grace to always have in the heart or mind the rich words that He spoke to Paul, as well as the words that Paul associated with what the Lord said to him, namely 2 Corinthians 12:9. And He, the Lord, said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, or weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. 1 Corinthians 12:4-6. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. 1 Thessalonians 1:2-5. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake.